Hello and welcome back to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on 1030 KVOI. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. Now I think we have on the line Lacey Neimeyer. John, are you there, Lacey?
Hi, Steve. I sure am.
How are you, old buddy, old pal? Where you been?
I'm great. I've been here right in Tucson.
That's funny.
Right where I need to be.
That's funny because I was at McHale last night and I was walking around, blah, 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 and I saw your picture and I said, you know what? I haven't talked to you in a long time, and you know what? You had a great career at UA, and I said, you know what? You'd be perfect for the show.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. I appreciate the thought.
Tell me your career at U of A, and I know from people who don't know who you are, who shame on them, a silver medalist at the Olympics in 2008. That was a great honor, obviously. A huge honor was NCAA Women of the Year.
2009.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just can you talk about your career and what it meant to you going to U of A?
Yeah, no, this is my favorite topic, not of my career, but of coming to the university and the University of Arizona. So this really was a dream come true. And I remember going through my whole recruiting process in high school and, you know, I was blessed to swim at the Ford Aquatics team, which was right on the pool deck with Frank Bush and his team. And, you know, I remember coming to practice early and just watching Frank and the coaches at Arizona and what they did here with their athletes. They really were developing amazing individuals, and the relationships that they built on that pool deck were life-changing. And I remember going to every school, every recruiting trip, and I would just judge everything against Arizona. And I never found a place that stood a chance. And I was so excited to become a Wildcat and join Frank. And I remember that night when I committed, I was sitting across the table with my dad, and Frank was at my house, and he was asking me, you know, where do you want to be? What do you want to do? And I said, well, Frank, I want to be a good swimmer. I mean, I think I can be pretty good.
Sure.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But you know, swimming's not everything to me. And he said, well, Lace, just know that every great athlete needs three things. And I said, man, three things? I can do three things, right? And he said, every great athlete needs a good coach, and a great team was the second. And then the third was a place to be you, a place to grow and to develop.
Mm-hmm.
Because the better I can help you develop as a person, the better you're going to be in the pool, the better you're going to be in the classroom, the better you're going to be in any arena in your life. And that sealed the deal for me. And I knew that becoming a Wildcat was where I was going to grow, not only as a swimmer, as an athlete, but to grow as a woman, as a person. And this was going to lay the foundation for my life. And it was right on. It was the best decision that I would have made for my career. And I remember, you know, that freshman year coming in and swimming with, you know, gold medalists and world record holders.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And national champions, and you know, the greatness that just walked the halls of McHale every single day, that inspired me, and you know, it was a humbling experience that helped me grow.
It's funny that you talk about it. No wonder he was good at what he does. Three simple things that were very obvious to you and to many, and it got you here, and it has a number, or had a number of swimmers come here and had great careers. What was the best thing at you? How many NCAA titles did you win?
So I have two individual titles, and then I was on, I want to say, 11 or 12 national championship relay teams.
Mm-hmm. Any more special than the other?
I don't know. I mean, I think everyone has a unique story.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my sophomore year, we were down in Georgia, and we were in the running for top three, but we didn't have enough points to be number one or number two. But it came down to the last relay, the 4x100 freestyle relay, and it was one of those races that decided the rest of the meet, where if we won, Auburn would win. If we didn't win, Georgia would win. And we were kind of a solid third for the team rankings. And I remember being in that ready room and looking around all the women in that room. It was, the tensions were high. and pressure was on, and there wasn't a lot of chit-chat, not a lot of talking. And I remember looking around and seeing all those faces, and then I found the faces of my teammates, you know, Whitney Myers, Courtney Cashin, Jenna Grisdahl, and we just had that look on our face like, we're going to blow this thing up. We are going to go all out, and it is going to be awesome. And we walked out behind the blocks, and you know, we saw our Arizona team. They were going crazy on the side of the pool. Frank just had that calm, confident face, and the gun went off, and so did we. And it was one of those moments that, you know, just like that still gives me goosebumps thinking about it. And that's when I realized, like, what it meant to be a team, what it meant to have teammates like that, that you would give anything for and you would do anything for. And, you know, I saw them compete until they dropped, and there was no way. I remember swimming anchor, and there was no way that I was going to let them down.
Right.
And I had to match their effort, you know, point for point, stroke for stroke. So
best time of your life at that point?
At that point, absolutely. You know, I mean, and I'd still say it is a highlight. You know, we had the reunion, 10-year reunion last year of our national championship team, and, you know, having all my teammates come back and to be on deck. You know, we don't swim as fast, but, man, we still have that same passion, and we can cheer just as loud. And, you know, that those build bonds that are lifelong.
Sure.
Those things don't go away.
Sure. It's funny. You talk about the people who swam or the great athletes that swam there, and then you see them in the hallways. I mean, you had some fantastic alums before you and after you. How big is that, having that kind of legacy throughout the program?
Oh, it's inspiring. It sets the tone. You know, I remember sitting on deck and watching Sarah Tolar, who is a great tuna freestyler, national champion. And she would just pound out these sets that were unreal to me. You know, and Arizona was always that place where, you know, we might not always have had like the biggest, flashiest names, but when you came here, you came to work. Mm-hmm. And to see their work ethic and to know that they weren't just working for themselves, right? They were working for the team.
Right.
And everything was built for, you know, representing Arizona at the highest level. And that was an environment that not only inspired you to go to that next level, but also gave you that sense of this is how you win. You know, you win by working hard.
Right.
By, you know, we might not have the biggest budget, we might not have the biggest team, we might not have the flashiest names, but we're going to work hard, and you're going to enjoy it. And that type of atmosphere just builds those bonds that money can't buy, right?
Yeah. So who inspired you? I covered Chrissy Amon obviously before you, and yep. I was at the Olympics in 2004, and Roland Scrollin and Reich Neathly, mm-hmm. and all those big names. Who inspired you?
Gosh, well, Chrissy Amon, she's incredible. That woman is a firecracker and still is.
She's a crazy firecracker. Yes, she is.
Oh, she's awesome. You know, I think I don't know if I could pin one down. You know, we have Beth Botsford. She was incredible, and here she is back on deck, you know, and someone who truly knows the sport, knows the ups and the downs, and, yeah, there's so many names. I don't know if I can name one, Steve.
Sure. It's like naming who's your favorite kid. Is that right? One of those things, you have 10 kids,
yeah,
and,
right?
And who's the favorite? Well, they're all favorites. I get it. Let's continue this. So any great experiences at the Olympics? You were in Beijing, I think it was.
Yeah, so I went to Beijing, and you know that is a dream come true for any athlete, especially an Olympic sport athlete. And you know, it was a huge blessing in my life. I will tell you that it was a blessing to have my parents there, and that was because of Tucson, because Tucson had some amazing people that, you know, my parents weren't going to be able to afford the plane ticket that you have to write the check right then and there as soon as your child makes the team, and there were some really generous people in Tucson that pitched in and helped bring my parents there. So that was a huge, huge piece. And leading up to the Olympics, you know, usually the normal track is that you leave from trials and you go straight to training camp, and you just ship all your old stuff home, and they basically give you enough USA stuff to last you a lifetime. And I was able to come home for one night, and it was one night only. And I came home, and my parents and my aunts and all my family surprised me with a huge, huge homecoming in my old high school, Mountain View.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had community members there, and there were hundreds of people there to wish me good luck, and that was so special. I was so tired going into that day, and just like, Mom, I just want to stay home. But you know, having that was incredible. And then, you know, you go to training camps, and you're with your USA team, which was great. And I was blessed to have Frank there, and Matt Grievers. He was there. Amanda Beard was there. So I had some friendly Wildcats. But when we finally got to the Olympic Village, and you go to the Olympic athletes, you know, cafeteria, and I remember sitting there at the table, and little by little, all these Wildcats started walking through the door,
mm-hmm.
right? From, you know, we have our Brazilian team coming in, and oh, there's Nicolas Nilo. And then the British team comes in, and oh, there's Simon Burnett. And, you know, the South African team rolls in, and oh, there's Roland Schoeman. And, you know, all of these Wildcats came home, and I was like, yes, finally. my family is here.
Yeah, my
we're
people.
We're all wearing different
people,
jerseys.
Right.
But yeah. Oh, it was great. You know, and then you have Coach Candrea and the softball mm-hmm. Wildcats. Mm-hmm. We had track Wildcats there. And, you know, it really was a worldwide celebration. We're all Wildcats, and,
sure.
and we all sat at the dinner table together, and
it was
a homecoming.
Yeah, and you're 23 years old. You're very young at the time, and still kind of bonding with people and all that stuff. Hey, let's go to break here, and we'll talk about the
yep.
Woman of the Year and what you're up to now, and how you're trying to inspire and things like that. Bob, let's go to break. Thank you.
Hey there, sports fans. Everyone knows that pizza is a game day tradition, and Tino's Pizza has been feeding fans across town for 34 years. Family owned and operated, Tino's has your game day covered, from scratch made pizzas to wings. You can dine in or swing by for pickup, and delivery is available too. For game day and every day in between, Tino's Pizza is ready to serve at 6610 East Tankerverde Road. Call them at 296-9656 or check out their menu today at tinospizza.com.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really confused him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk. Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network. 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI, AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on business.
I can see why you think you belong to me.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Steve Rivera, and this is Eye on the Ball, and we're talking with Lacey Niemeyer-John. Glad to talk to you. Hey, what are you doing now?
Hi, Steve. So, yeah, I work in athletics at the University of Arizona, still a Wildcat. I work in CATS Life Skills, which is part of the CATS program, so Commitment to an Athlete's Total Success. And I work alongside Becky Bell, who's the director of CATS Life Skills and has been there for a number of years.
A fantastic woman, I'll say.
Oh, she's great. She really is a firecracker in and of herself. Mm-hmm. And we're so blessed to have her as a mentor. And, you know, I remember when she was here in my career, and now I get to work with her. But, you know, we work towards developing people and kind of along those same lines that Frank told me those many years ago. The better we can develop people, the better they're going to perform in the classroom, the better they're going to perform on the field or in the pool and in other areas of their life. So it's personal development, career development, and community engagement.
Right, right. So you've been through some of the biggest sporting events in your life, you know, obviously being in the NCAAs and doing really well, going to the Olympics and doing really well, world record, silver medal. So tell me, compared to all that, the night that you were named Woman of the Year, how does it compare in terms of tension and nervousness?
Well, to be honest, I wasn't nervous at all with the NCAA Woman of the Year banquet because I didn't think I was going to win.
Uh-huh.
I remember we did a walkthrough with all the other finalists, and I get to watch their highlight videos of what they've done with their careers. And I remember coming back to the hotel room, and my parents were there, and I said, "Mom, Dad, we're good. Like, we're just here for the food because I'm not winning. Because look at all these other women and what they've done and how they've structured their career to be phenomenal, not just in their sports but in other areas of their life, and I just don't match up." So I was sitting pretty, very confident in just enjoying the meal and enjoying the presentation. But then they call my name, and I was beyond shocked and honored. So it's actually one of my favorite awards, Steve.
Sure. Of course. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. And maybe besides that, Arizona has like three or four of you guys with that honor. What's the secret?
Yeah. So we actually have four winners, which is the most out of any other school in the country. And the number of finalists that we've had surpasses everyone else. It really is, I think it's the CATS program. And it's this philosophy of we are more than just athletes. And we are the work that we put into our sports is not just developing, you know, skills that can be used in that arena, but really skills that can be used throughout your entire life. And it sets that foundation for success and teaches you how to win, not just in sports, but in your professional career, or in your relationships, or other areas as well.
Mm-hmm. So I would take it that being in your position, even before you got into this position, you were out speaking to the youth of today locally and kind of trying to inspire them that way?
Absolutely. You know, you come back from the Olympics and I felt this desire and this need to share my experience because I think my experience is a little bit different than what people expected. You know, I went to the Olympics and it was, you know, it's the highest level of sport. Mm-hmm. You're there and the whole world pauses for 2 weeks to celebrate athletic performance and every single body style, every single language, every single, you know, human body is represented there. And it's incredible. And I was so blessed to be able to have that perspective because I saw so many athletes across the board, but especially in swimming, attach their self-worth and self-identity to the color of that medal or that time or that record. And so many people were disappointed. I saw tears. I saw anger. I saw frustration. And I mean, Steve, don't get me wrong. I love to win, and I know what it means to win. But when we attach our identity and we attach our self-worth to that, it's kind of maddening. And it's, I don't know, for me, like, that wasn't why I started the sport, to come all the way here and to be disappointed. You know, I remember people saying, oh, well, you're only a silver medalist. If you only had 0.2 seconds, you could have won.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't even know how to respond to that, because I'm so blessed to have this experience. And I saw a lot of athletes train their whole life. They can make it to the Olympics, and they don't come home with hardware.
Sure.
They don't come home with anything to show for it. And that doesn't make them any less of an athlete or a competitor, and their career any less. You know, it's their own. And that's why I decided I needed to come back. I needed to work with athletes. They needed to know that they are more than, you know, a record or a time or a, you know, a statistic. They are human beings that have amazing potential outside of their competitive arena.
Where did you think you got this perspective? Because it's a great perspective. I know, I think it was your grandfather who played hoops here, and he was one of the fantastic players back in the day.
Yeah, no, my family has always been my base, and, I definitely get that competitive gene from my grandpa. he doesn't really know swimming, and we still have conversations on, you know, is swimming a real sport? But, I think you do have that perspective. And what the great thing was about my grandpa and about my family is that they knew me. They didn't need to know swimming to love me. And whether I was on the top of that podium or I was, you know, walking off the deck without anything, I knew that they loved me. And that's when I swam the best, was when I could see them up in the stands, and I would look at them after my race, and it didn't matter what the time was. I still saw those smiles. I still saw those faces of, you know what, you're still Lacey, no matter what. And everyone has to have that type of support that looks at you and sees you beyond what the world measures you by.
Right. No, that's good advice. Let me ask you, because you started at a very young age swimming, you had to have. Did you at any point feel, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm burnt out?
Yeah, I think every athlete has to come to look at themselves in the mirror and say, why am I doing this?
Right?
Mm-hmm. When your body hurts, when, you know, I really felt alone in high school, and, you know, here I was training for something that may or may not even happen, but I'm putting my family made sacrifices. I was putting them through hoops. I was, you know, friends were hard because, you know, I can't go out late tonight because, you know, I got morning practice at 6 a.m. and it's going to kick my rear end, and I got to be ready for that. Or, you know, I just had different priorities in my life. And, you know, when I sat down and said, why am I doing this? I always had to be able to answer that question. And it was because I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would remember why I even started it in the first place. I remember 6 years old, summer league swimming, SAAA. I just loved to race.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I did it. And if I could go back and I could think of those 6 and under swim meets, of just getting in the pool and having fun, then it kind of recharged me. And I understood that there were going to be good days and bad days, but I loved it, and I loved to race.
How do you keep that competitive fire in you, or do you need to anymore?
You know, I think definitely transitioned. That's something that I think all athletes struggle with when they leave their sport, is finding that passion and what is that outlet. Because really, where else in life do you get to just go all out with no reservation, right? There's very few places now that you're able to do that when you're not an athlete. And so I don't know if I'm as competitive as I used to be, but I definitely love that perspective of myself, of this is what I can do, and it's possible if I, you know, put my mind to it and I work hard for it. And you know, that same mentality of I'm not the biggest, I'm not the smartest. Sometimes I'm fast, sometimes I'm not, but I guarantee you I will work the hardest.
Yeah.
And when you apply that mindset, that's where I still feel like I transitioned my sport into my professional career, into my family, into my, you know, faith and all those places, because that's what translated for me.
Right. And you're still doing it in a different form, helping kids out with their futures, probably relating your story to them and how it applies.
Yeah. You know, we try. You know, I feel like the future of athletics has some whole new challenges that I never even had to deal with. You know, social media is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the pressures that they're under and the landscape of youth sports has changed dramatically. But if I can just be that space to go to just be you, and I understand the need for that space, and that's where I feel like I can do the most good, is
right.
Just being there and having that empathy of, you know, I know what it feels like to be that tired. I know what it feels like to have expectations, and, you know, I don't know your exact path, but, you know, I can sit here and I can walk with you for a little bit on it. And that's what I enjoy the most.
Well, Nike had Just Do It. You have Just Be You. We're starting that program right now.
Perfect.
Just Be You. And
I'm
you know
on
what?
Board.
You're on board. So we'll collaborate on that. And we still need to collaborate on the book that we talked about 10 years ago.
Yes. I know. I was just thinking about that when you called yesterday.
Well, we'll get that started. We'll appreciate Perfect. Your time. We'll talk again. I'm going to probably go see you and Becky and say hello soon.
Please do. Yeah, and I encourage everyone to support Arizona Athletics and to join the Wildcat Club. And, you know, we're still doing great things with great people here, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this, be a part of the Wildcat Nation and Wildcat Movement.
Great, great. Lacey, please, I really appreciate Lacey. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely, you as well. Thanks, Steve.
Merry Christmas and all that. Thank you very much.
Let's you go to, too.
Let's
bye.
Go to, bye. Bye-bye. Let's go to break, Bob, and talk more on the other side.
Tired of listening to your lady complain about how her bra hurts? Here at the Bra Spa, we fit bras for a living. Buy your gal a gift card and we'll make all of her bra fit woes go away. You know that you're going to give her a gift card for Christmas, so get it now. You give me $100, I'll give you a gift card for $115. You give me $200 and I'll give you a gift card for $230. We'll get a comfy bra for her and a sexy bra for you. The Bra Spa on East Tankaverde Road.
When we started Sun Street Mortgage in 2005, our goal was to create a local mortgage company that would treat our clients like family and friends. Now it's many years later, and we've had great success. Today we have offices throughout Arizona and the Southwest. Even though we've grown, we have clients that are family and friends forever. Call us today at Sun Street Mortgage at 547-2400 if we can be of any help to you. Sun Street Mortgage, take the street that leads you home.
ACBK number 0907366, NMLS number 145171. Sun Street Mortgage LLC is an equal housing lender.
Ah, the sounds of autumn. A babbling brook. Birds chirping. A cool fall wind. A gentle rain.
What? I can't stand this. I hate that sound. I hate when my car won't start. I don't want to live.
Don't let that sound ruin your fall season. Take your car to Ramsauer's Automotive on the corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge or at ramsauersauto.com.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career I can be proud of and supporting my family.
America's veterans are on their most important tour, the tour of their lives.
I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission to help veterans get the benefits they've earned.
I'm a veteran, and my victory was finishing my education.
DAV offers veterans of all generations a lifetime of support. for victories great and small.
My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
My victory was getting my service dog a new best friend.
We help more than 1 million veterans every year as they face and conquer their challenges.
My victory is being able to be there for my family.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters in what shapes up to be one of the most critical election years in our history.
The John C. Scott Show, weekday afternoons 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KBOI. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. Had you known of Lacey before I brought her here?
No, I hadn't. That's pretty cool to have a world record holder, and what a humble lady.
Very much so. You could tell that in her voice. I know her background with her family. Very good family, obviously, and how she was raised, because obviously she showed it right there. You are who you are, and you try as hard as you can. If you fail in a gold medal, you have a silver, and that's not even failing.
And I love what she said when people are like, you must feel horrible, a couple hundredths of a second. You see, he's like, how do you respond to that?
Yeah,
you
know? You don't.
Yes, I feel terrible. Thank you for bringing that up. Did I ever tell you about my car wreck, too? I
know. Yeah, but that's how people are.
Oh, I feel it. I mean, I could see somebody maybe meaning well. I don't know.
Right. It's like people when they say, I don't mean to disturb you, but can you sign this autograph?
Yeah.
If you didn't mean to disturb me,
why did you even say that?
Why would you even say that? Right. It's funny. And I don't use that for me. I use it for other people. It's funny because the famous people. But Arizona, and I was going to tell this to Lacey, that I think that the programs like the softball team and the swimming team, obviously, and some other sports, the soccer team, things like that, are undersold in terms of their stories because they have huge stories within the program that don't get told. And it's funny. I really thought that when she said, just do it. Like I said, with the Nike plan, just be you. Who else could you be?
Yeah, I like that.
I'm going to use that somewhere.
Well, they just need to contact a sports writer to help them get the word out there.
Yes, they do. I don't know who that could be.
Or write a book.
Write a book. Yeah, actually, we're going to talk about that later. Yes. Oh. It'll be my number X. It'll be fun. But great girl. They've had a lot of success in the program that many people don't know. Like she said, four of the former athletes in the UA program have won Woman of the Year, and that's a huge deal. It's a huge deal by any perspective because here you are at Arizona. I don't want to say little old Arizona because they are on the map. They're not. You can't avoid them.
Big state.
Well, and a good school.
Absolutely.
With a name brand. And they have these four women of the year who have done unbelievably on the court, on the field, or whatever, and have gone on to bigger and better things.
Impressive. Do you recall what year that was?
2009.
Wow.
And I think I could be wrong, and I probably am wrong, that she was the last one to do it, but I think there might be one after her that pulled that off. And like she said, she didn't think she'd win it, so she wasn't nervous, you know? It's like winning the lottery. Da-da-la-di-da. Oh, I have the numbers. How am I going to spend the money?
How do you not be nervous? That's just...
Right. Well, it's just, what do they say? It's just good to be nominated.
Yeah.
I've never been nominated, so I'm okay with that. You know, I wouldn't know. Hey, but back to sports. A big, let's say, I want to say big. I'm not sure how big. But upcoming, they have a women's basketball game tomorrow. Northern Arizona, and that's a tribute or salute to Naismith. His granddaughter is going to be in town to celebrate the birth of basketball on the women's game, on the women's side. And then Saturday afternoon, Arizona returns to the court to face UC Davis. Not as good as it's been in the past, but another test for Arizona to get things right before they take a break and then they come back for the Pac-12.
That game is not during my nap time, is it?
What time is your nap time?
Oh, I don't know, maybe 1 to 2, like 2 to 4.
Oh, my God. Don't you, well, I guess you take naps. I miss those things.
My schedule is a lot more structured now, Monday through Friday here, and then home stuff and other stuff. So I haven't had a nap in 4 days.
Wow. No wonder you're cranky. No wonder. But don't you? I do miss those naps.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're like 12 or, you know, whatever age, 10, 8, I'm thinking, why didn't I take more naps?
Well, we tend, as a family, we tend to sleep in.
Oh, that's super. I hate you.
Either
I hate
Saturday
you,
or.
I hate you.
But with kids on spring or spring break, Christmas break, I'm sure. You know, I'll end up being the first one up the next couple of weeks here, just to get in here by 9:30 before
Father of the Year.
My first show, but we got to get up. But my wife wakes up at 6, and sometimes I'm up way too earlier than that, and then other times I get up right after because the kids head out, you know, for school 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, we got rid of the pizzas, right? With the pizza?
Got rid of one, yep.
Got rid of one. Okay, so we have to do that, and we're good today. We're done with that?
We have fulfilled all of our multi-million-dollar contractual obligations.
I need to get out there and have one, too, sometime soon. We're not going to have a show on Monday or Tuesday. It's going to be a repeat of some of my best work, whatever that means.
Ooh.
I don't know. Whatever it is. A couple of cool shows that I thought were very good that I could write home to Mom and say, hey, listen to me, Mom. You know, one of those.
I was thinking, speaking of Tino's, wouldn't it be great if we could do a remote?
Yes.
Do your show remotely? You could. I'd have to stay here and
Really?
Run. Well, maybe you could talk to somebody here into running it. Then I could sit with you. But we could still chat back and forth from here, and you could be there eating pizza. And
I'll talk about that. Let me see how that'll work.
Especially if you said, you know, we're going to be at Tino's tomorrow, and you know, we'll be hanging out with Sean Elliott and Steve Kerr. I bet you get a lot of people in there eating pizzas.
You can't be throwing out names like that, Bob. You can't be throwing out names.
Well, all right, then.
You'll be having pizza
Bob's
with Steve.
Bill will be here along with
Bob
Steve.
Bob and Steve will be here. Good luck with that. I hope we entertain you.
Cricket.
Yeah. I assume you're not going to the games this weekend?
No, I can't get my cousin to respond, and I'm still waiting on my sports writer friend to get me a ticket.
I'll watch it on TV.
So
I told you about those tickets I was able to find
yesterday.
So in waiting to give it to them, I was outside of the game right before the game started, and they showed up and they took the tickets. But there was at least four. I sat with one of them or two of them that they were trying to get rid of tickets, trying to give away tickets.
That you were sitting next to?
Sitting next to you outside.
Oh, we were just, my God. They were trying to just, here you go?
Yeah, here, you need a ticket. No, they couldn't get rid of their tickets.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a caveat to this. They all had one ticket. So it was like one of their tickets they couldn't get rid of. So they were going, but they couldn't get rid of that one ticket. And they couldn't sell it. They couldn't get rid of it. I mean, they couldn't give it away.
Well,
and I said, this is what it's come to.
I remember the story when Lindsay was coach years ago, that somebody had a pair of tickets to the basketball game, so they put them on their windshield wipers to go into a place for lunch, and when they came out, there was four tickets.
That's a good game.
You're way ahead of me. You already heard that story.
I have a story to tell you about Ben Lindsay. We have time before to go to break, right? So I wrote my third book. It was the Arizona Basketball Vault. I don't know if you've seen it. It's the box. It's the cover of my Facebook page.
Ah.
So you kind of remember. It's a blue box book. It's kind of a cool book. It pop up stuff. You have stuff in it. So it's out about 4 months. This is 10 years ago. So it's out about 4 months. It's in every store. It's in Price Club or Price Costco, whatever Costco was before it is now. And my publisher called me one day. He says, you know, Steve, I have something to talk to you about. I said, okay, what's going on? He says, well, we have somebody in Arizona that's very upset about your book. And I'm thinking, what could I have done in this book? Everybody loved the book. He says, well, there was some guy calling from Flagstaff, Arizona, or Prescott, I couldn't remember which one, saying that there were some factual errors in there, or errors in the book, factually. And I said, there's no way. There's just no way. I checked things, and I wrote it, and I checked things again. And he says, yes. And he says, well, you wrote something in about 1982. He was very upset that it was the disaster of a season. It was hard for them to recover from that year. And I said, well, that's true. I mean, it's a little editorializing,
sure,
but it's true.
Sure.
And I said, did they tell you what name was calling? It was Ben Lindsay. He had called the publisher to complain about me that I was being factually incorrect about that year.
Oh, my.
This is so funny. So my publisher didn't know who this guy was. So I started laughing. I says, oh, makes total sense. Ben Lindsay was the coach of that time. So don't worry about it. You're okay.
He was getting ready to, he was calling it fake sports news,
yeah,
was he?
Of course, back in the day. It was so funny because this guy was so upset off what I wrote. And I'm thinking, who would say that? Because it was true. Oh, some guy named Ben Lindsay. Oh, no wonder. He was the guy I was writing about.
He had a horse in the race.
Yes. He had a horse in the race that didn't run because they sure didn't run back in the day.
Whose guitar strings are these?
Yes. So that's my story with Ben Lindsay and my only story with Ben Lindsay.
I like that.
It was funny.
I like that.
Let's go to break here, and we'll come back for our last segment on Thursday.
Got her Sonic's new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger.
Guys, if you really love her, get her Sonic's new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger and Tots for $4.99. Nothing says you're the best thing that ever happened to me like crispy bacon and black pepper mayo. One bite of warm, buttery brioche bun will leave her speechless.
It's beautiful.
Hurry into Sonic for the new Steakhouse Bacon Cheeseburger and Tots for $4.99.
Tax not included. See menu for details for limited time only at participating Sonic drive-in.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
Kaya weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. As the sun shines on the Rincon Mountains, Christy Simone wakes up Tucson from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on news.
back to Eye on the Ball here on KBOI 1030 AM. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and I want to congratulate or give kudos to my producer guy, Bob Dio. Great music. Thanks for putting up with me all the time. I hope, was that what you wrote on the screen? Did I read it well?
No,
I don't know. Send your check to me.
Yeah, what did I write? I think I made sure I included the word
good guy, something like that.
Humble in there.
Yeah, no.
Super
sorry.
Talented,
sorry.
Humble.
yeah, right. Hey, so in this time, have you become more aware of Arizona athletics since you've started this show?
Oh, absolutely.
Not just for me, but what have you learned?
You don't know about, for me, I didn't know, you didn't tell somebody to call, did you?
No.
Okay.
No. So we have a caller coming in. That's good.
I'll tell him to hold a second.
Okay.
There, I told him, or I could tell him on the air. For me, not knowing how the sports community interaction with the players, I don't know where else I would have learned that here. And the other thing is just all the human side of sports that, I've just never known anybody other than you to cover in sports. It's, and when they do, it's always opinion, like so-and-so seems to really be struggling with this, instead of asking the person, are you struggling with this, or did you struggle?
Yeah, and how do you overcome it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I like about sports. It's not so much about the score. It's about how you became who you became and right. What led you to this.
Because there's people listening.
Yes. It's more than the score. I'm not sure if that's a commercial I heard somewhere, but there is. It's true. It's more than the score, how you learn how to play the game, where you learn how to play the game. I think that Lacey on the show earlier kind of grew up that way. You know, she started what, at age 6, and then she became this phenom on the swimming pool. So,
she must be a good swimmer if she was swimming on a field.
With the pool.
Cranberries.
With the pool. We have Chuck on the line. Chuck, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Steve.
Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Hey, great. I just wanted to let you know that you've got a wonderful show, and I really, really appreciate you being on the air.
Well, thank you very much. Have you been listening for a while?
Yeah, I have, since you've been on from day one.
For years now.
Oh, great, Chuck. It's like, what's that saying? I spent a week in Albuquerque one day, or whatever it was. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, Chuck.
Anyway, Steve, the reason I called is my favorite college sport, the reason it being because I played a lot of it, was baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that you, when February rolls around, that you pay a lot of attention to the baseball teams. Maybe even let us get to know some of the ball players. I go out to the games quite a bit, and I enjoy it, but it's not like it used to be. You know, you used to be able to talk to the players, get to know them. One thing about a baseball player, when you interview them, they're pretty intelligent.
Yes.
Very intelligent, and, they can make for good interviews. And, of course, I know the coaches, too, but I would really appreciate it if we could get to know the ball team a little bit better and maybe just devote a little bit more time in your program to the baseball team.
I will, Chuck. In fact, I hope to have Coach Johnson here at the beginning of the year before they get busy when they get the season started in mid to late January. I'll definitely try to do that. I don't know what they're accommodating in terms of media to us, the local guys, because I haven't covered baseball, but I'm sure they're better than they do for basketball and football.
Oh, I know they are. I know Coach would probably welcome that, you know, they maybe introduce a player once a week or something like that.
I'll make a note of that, and I'll try to do that, yes. And I do think that Coach Johnson is a heck of a good coach, obviously coming in here the first year and doing a fantastic job in replacing Andy Lopez. Did you hear my Andy Lopez interview?
You bet I did.
I thought that was really he's such a good dude.
Oh, he's a wonderful, wonderful individual, and I really appreciate it because I think it's very lacking in this town. And, you know, that ball club, college team, they'll draw 6,000-7,000 every once in a while.
Yeah.
So it's not like they don't have people out there watching them.
No, you're completely right. I totally agree with you. And they're good. They're good and fun to watch. So it's a good. I don't know how long the games are nowadays, but three and a half hours. It's a good three and a half hours.
Oh, yeah, it's still that way, and which is unfortunate. And, of course, that's the game of baseball, is when it comes to college, has changed so much. When I played it, things were a lot different, a lot different. I mean, you know, there were such things as stealing, bunting, hit and run, things like that. You don't see that anymore, hardly.
Yeah.
It's all gone.
Yeah.
It's either a home run or pitching.
The power. He does that, though. The field is so big now, there's a lot of things you can do with that field.
Oh, yeah. He could really. You play the small ball on that field, you can score a lot of runs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of runs.
Yeah, I hope
that. That's all I wanted to say, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck. I thank you for listening, too. I hope you continue to do so.
You bet I will.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck, again. So we're going to try to get Coach Johnson here in the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks maybe.
Nice.
But I'll say this now because we only have like 3 minutes left. Tomorrow I have a special guest in the studio on the second hour, a guy I completely respect and I totally enjoy talking to about life, not so much about sports, and that's Mike Candrea. He's coming in to be with me
really?
For the second hour. So we'll have Hall of Fame Coach Mike Candrea. We'll wax poetic on a lot of different things, maybe some of his favorite players, some of their favorite accomplishments, or his favorite accomplishments. I had him on the phone maybe a month ago, three weeks ago, if you remember, and it went by too quickly for me, because we talked about, you know, his fall ball and all that stuff. But I want to talk to him about philosophy, life, and all that, because he's had a wonderful career.
Yeah.
And we talked about this with the Mount Rushmore of coaches at Arizona. he is one of the guys that would be on it.
Yeah.
You have Lute, of course. Mike Andrea, Lute, likely Dick Tomey. And who that fourth person is could be Frank Bush, could be somebody else.
Anthony Cimino?
no, not so much. Jerry Kindle? I mean, there's.
I would say Kendall.
Yeah, so you have those four. In fact, Anthony and I, because we do the Sports Guy show, wanted to get all these power hitters on our show to talk about. It was very difficult to do. Difficult to do. Cause time. Who has time anymore?
Yeah, maybe if there's reunion at the U, then you do a remote or whatever.
But, yeah,
can you imagine that?
Yeah, it's very difficult.
So how long is the coach going to be on tomorrow?
An hour. He'll be on an hour.
Awesome.
From the second hour to 2 to 3 o'clock. So in the first hour, you and I will probably have to talk a little about sports. I'll probably get another guest. I don't know who that is yet. So it should be a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm looking forward to like today. I was looking forward to Lacey. She's very informative. Talked well about a lot of different things. Her successes, and now she's at the U of A kind of going full circle, talking about what she learned and how it applies to today's kids.
You know, tomorrow might end up being a good best of to play on a day off.
I was thinking that, but that'll be later because I already have my four shows. I really liked the one on Monday. We had Kerry Cecil. That was fun.
Was that Monday?
That was Monday already, It goes by quickly.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, this is it. It goes by so quickly.
You come back tomorrow, I'll be here.
Okay. Next, you'll listen to John C. Scott.
Yep.
You'll have John C. Scott to listen to and all the politics that he comes and brings to this forum. Have a good day. Enjoy today's show.